Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Okay, these don't work. All right. I've been talking for the past 5 minutes. Thinking that my microphone was working, but obviously my microphone wasn't working. All right. We're going to learn today. We're going to get some learning in today. All right. You have reached the Sport of Truth Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I'm one of the teachers here with the ISBHPK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. And right about, I see you text now. Baruch Atah Yahweh Hashem El Shaddai. You got to laugh at all this. I'm good. I'm going to just do it from here. I've been talking for the past 10 minutes, y'all. I ain't going to lie. 15 minutes. I have been running my mouth, giving announcements, giving praise and shout-outs and honors to everybody. And just to have my wife come and tell me, can't nobody hear you? To get the text from my butterfly, that it's just dead silence. And I promise you, I've been on my best enunciating. I've been on my best memory recall of trying to get exact addresses, dates and times, phone numbers. We are fools of Christ. All right. We have schools in Albuquerque, San Antonio, Houston, and Northern Virginia. If you'd like to find out more about any one of the schools, please go to isbhpk.org. That's isbhpk.org. To find out any information about any school, again, in Albuquerque, San Antonio, Houston, or Norfolk. I'm not going to take another 15 minutes of announcements. I'm just not going to do that. That's not going to happen. Wow, I feel like such a fool. Okay. All right. That shook me. I do apologize. All right. I guess with that, I'm going to go ahead and get right into the class. I titled this class Confession of a Sinner. I titled the class Confession of a Sinner. And it's talking about me, okay? Referring to myself, and it's really, really, it's really hitting me up. It's really getting at me. And I got it in my list of scriptures that I was going over, but I'm going to go ahead and pull it out now. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes in the Bible, the one after the Son of Solomon. Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. And to be honest, there's been a bit of depression. And I'm finally hitting the terms, and I'm finally getting some understanding of where part of my depression is coming from. And it's coming from, I'm just going to go into it. It says, he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. In Hebrews chapter 5, I'm starting verse 12, it tells us that, let me try to reduce this a little bit. Yep, let's do it. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, I'm going to read it. It says, for the time you have to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of the Most High. And it becomes such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And these are reading these two scriptures. One, the first one being Ecclesiastes 1:18. That he that increases in knowledge is going to increase in sorrow. And coming back with this one here, that at the time we ought to be teachers, we don't need one teacher again. That even though I've been in this knowledge, been in the truth for going on 30 years. Look like this year makes 30 years. That I'm still finding out and still understanding. There's still a lot more knowledge to learn about the Most High. There's still a lot more understanding to be achieved with the Most High. And even though I've been teaching I've taught across the country, literally from New York to California, and a lot of places in between, that I'm finding out that there's still things that I've got to learn. For as much as I'm in the Bible, just about every day, as much as I'm studying, just about every day, finding out and coming to the realization that there's still a lot of knowledge that's got to be achieved. There's still a lot of knowledge that's got to be observed. And a lot of the knowledge is not going to come to fruition. It's not going to come out until, like it says in verse 14. I'm going to read Hebrews 5, verse 14 one more time. It says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." And one thing I did was I looked at the word sense, right? From the Webster's 1820 Dictionary, I'm going to get definitions 4, 5, 6, and 7, right? From Webster's 1828, not Webster, not the Merriam-Webster, but the Webster's 1828 Dictionary, the definition of the word sense. Now I'm going to go to definition number 4. It says sensibility, quickness and acuteness of perception. So if I'm going to insert that into the scripture, it says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their sensibility exercised to discern both good and evil." That it's got to make sense to discern what is good and what is evil. And that's not going to come except by reason of use, except by experience, right? That it's going to be through our experiences with the Most High. It's going to be through our experiences in the application of His knowledge, His understanding, His wisdom, that it's not going to be until that time that we can actually observe the difference between good and evil. And this is what's really got me going. It's one thing that's really got my head, is that it's not, your sensibility is not going to grow to really understand what is good and what is evil, unless you've been in the knowledge for a minute and you've actually been applying and working and have and experienced things. And this is where, again, he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. That we're going to, that as we find out that, you know, we already know from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That the Most High knows and understands that we do not have his knowledge. That from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, to where it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." To Hosea 4 and 1, where it lets us know that the knowledge we're destroyed for is the Most High's knowledge. That we really don't know the Most High's knowledge. So for me to come in, as it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, at the time you ought to be teachers, and I've been teaching this knowledge for a while, the knowledge that we're Israelites, the knowledge that we're the Israelites, who the Edomites are, going over the 12 tribes of Israel, the color of the Jews, color of the Israelites, teaching that, you know, the North American Indians, those people of Negroid Indian, so-called Indian and Hispanic descent, scattered down North, Central, South America, are the 12 tribes of Israel, teaching of the Paleo-Hebrew, that I've been doing this type of teaching. I've been doing this teaching. I'm not stripping that. My foundation is strong and securing those things, and I have those things. Teaching on what day the Sabbath is, teaching the Most High five holy days, teaching the dress code of the Most High, teaching the cosmetics of the Most High. I've taught these things, but the scripture does still lets us know what. For when the time you have to be teachers, you have need and one teacher again. That there's always going to be things to learn from the Most High. One thing I was sharing with my wife the other night was in Ecclesiastes, it tells us that, I'm going to paraphrase it for now, because I don't want to go get the scripture and then it's going to, I can't do that either. It tells us that, I got to pull it, so forgive me, I got to pull it up now. It says, as a drop. And forgive me, I got to actually pull it up. I got to get with my electronic Bible online, which is going a little slow, but give me one second. As I need it right now to prove a point. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm just trying to get the scripture real quick because it is important. But I want to be able to, to read it for those who don't have the scripture. It's Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha. Just like we're reading in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the scripture is perfect. From Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, we'll read again, 12 through 14. It tells us, the scripture lets us know, for when the time you have to be teachers, you have need of one teacher again, which be the first principles of the organs of the Most High, and it becomes such as that need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of the Most High, of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. They have their sensibility. As we go through the Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of sense, going to definition number 4, it says sensibility. Having your sensibility exercised to discern both good and evil. I want to jump now and hold in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. I want to jump to Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha. So Ecclesiasticus chapter 18, verse 8. Again, Ecclesiasticus chapter 18, verse 8. And it says, what is man? And whereto serveth he? What is his good? And what is his evil? So to a person, to a man, there's a lot of things that we might think is good and a lot of things that we might think is evil. So the Most High asks the question, what is man? Who are you? And what is that you really serve? What is that you give yourself over to? And what is it that as men, as people, as humans, what do we call good? And what do we call evil? He goes on to say, in looking for the Most High perspective, verse 9, the number of a man's days are at the most are 100 years. So the Most High saying, look, I'm looking at men, and Most High is curious. What is it that y'all serve? How did y'all come up with this is good and this is evil? How do y'all reason that? How do y'all reason of what you come back and say is good and what you come back and say is evil? How do y'all put that together? He says, look, you only live 100 years. So how... Since that's a, well, let me read on, verse 10. Ecclesiasticus chapter 18, verse 10. As a drop of water unto the sea, and a gravel stone in comparison of the sand. What is a drop of water to the ocean or to the seas? And let's go back to, just to give a real comparison. Remember from the very beginning, all the land, in Genesis chapter 1, all the land was in one area, let's call it Pangaea, and there were no different oceans. It was all considered the sea. So let's bring all the continents back together in one. All right, let's put them back together as a puzzle and put all the land back together as one unit. If we do that, how much more water around the earth is there than there is land? And the Most High called all the water being gathered together seas. So we got all that water, even though it'd be very easy for us just to take a look at the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Mediterranean, the Indian Ocean. But let's put them all together. Let's put all, the Arctic Ocean, the Gulf of whatever. Let's put them all together. All that water together, and then let's take one drop from it. How insignificant is that drop of water to all the water of the seas? Very. It is very insignificant. So In Ecclesiastes 7:18 and verse 10, the Most High is letting us know again what? As a drop of water unto the sea, and a gravel stone in comparison of the sand, one grain of sand to all the sand that might be on the beach. He says, so are 1,000 years to the days of eternity. Now, if we only live 100 years, the Most High says 1,000 years is like a drop of water to the sea, and a gravel stone in comparison of the sand. That's 1,000 years. We don't even make it to 1,000 years. We're only here maybe 100. Maybe 100. So how is it in the little bit of space of time, where are our senses at that we think that the things we're doing is good or that this might be evil, and there's no way we can see what the Most High sees to really consider what he calls good and what he calls evil? Now it goes on to say this, verse 11. Therefore, is the Most High patient with them and poureth forth his mercy upon them? The Most High said, there is no way I have to extend patience and mercy to mankind, because if y'all don't even live 1,000 years, which is as a drop of water to the sea, which is like a gravel stone to the sand. Y'all don't even live 1,000 years. Y'all live maybe 100. So to really get perfection, to really get what is good and what is evil, or to be perfect, please, it's impossible. It's not going to happen. It says, again, verse 11, therefore is the Most High patient with them and pour forth his mercy upon them. Verse 12, he saw and perceived their end to be evil. Therefore he multiplied his compassion. The Most High, who lives forever, who looks at 1,000 years like it's a gravel stone to the sea, or a drop of water, a gravel stone to the sand, and a drop of water to the sea, he says, man, as he looks at us, damn it, every decision we make is evil. As he looks at us, like, man, what are y'all thinking about? It's no different how I might look at my children. No different how I might look at people I've been teaching or people around me. Like, what are y'all studying? Where is your mind at? Do y'all not hold any scriptures at all? But the Most High is like, even with that 30 years in, which is nowhere near 100, which is nowhere near 1,000. Like, where is your senses at? What is driving your sensibility? How does that move make sense? Why is that move good in your eyes? Then one says, just chalk it up. Y'all only live 100 years, so you know what? If I was expecting y'all to be on my level of eternity, and y'all don't even make it 1/10 of 1,000 years, the Most High is not continuing to hold this expectation with us as if we're going to get this perfected in a little bit of time. And again, as I'm dealing with the confession of a sinner, to come back and understand that for even as much as I think I've got some knowledge, as much as I am a teacher, that there's still so much to learn and achieve and gain of the Most High's knowledge that it's really got me to a point where, again, like the scripture for what I earlier, Ecclesiastes 7:1 verse 18, that he that does increase knowledge increases sorrow. Because out of a sincerity of wanting to do good, out of a sincerity of wanting to do right, out of a sincerity, a non-maliciousness of trying my best to apply scriptures, I'm finding out that my knowledge in trying even to apply scriptures, I've been lacking. And this is some of the things I'm going to go over with y'all. And this is going to be, again, this is going to be one of them series. There's no way I'm going to get all this in one 90-minute period. It's not going to happen. But I do want to go over it. I want to go ahead and bring it out. That, again, For the time you have to be teachers, you have need to one teacher again. And jumping down to verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And returning back to that scripture, to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, returning back to that for those trying to keep up. And I do apologize for the speed and if I'm going too fast, we're right on the scriptures now. I do, please forgive me for that. Let me see here. Just checking to see if there's any texts. I really don't want to leave anybody out or whatever as I'm going over this. But Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 again, it says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And one definition I want out of that that struck me for dealing with senses was definition number 4 from the Webster's 1820 dictionary. Was sensibility. It says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their sensibility exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, as many scriptures as we have in the Bible, for as much knowledge as there is in the Bible, how are we going to know what to apply and when to apply it unless we've had our senses exercised to discern good and evil? How am I going to know that? When's going to be the right time to apply this scripture? When's going to be the right time to apply that scripture? That from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it tells us there's a time and season for everything. So until I have my sensibility exercised to be able to discern, well, there's going to be a time I got to do this. But then there's going to be a time I got to do that. Matter of fact, let's look at it real quick. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. That if I'm going to have my sensibility exercised to discern good and evil, to discern when I got to apply the scripture, when I got to apply that scripture, it's not going to be readily available or readily understood until I've had my senses exercised, my sensibility exercised. That there's a time I could be applying a scripture, but it's the wrong time. Not that the scripture's wrong, but my application of that scripture, it might be the wrong, it might not be the season for the application of that particular scripture. To give an example, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us, Ecclesiastes, this was in the Bible, right? Ecclesiastes 3 and 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, there's a time to be born, and a time to die. So, again, just to use it as an example, the Most High has a season for everything. So there's a time that to be born, and yeah, there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So the only way we're going to know what's good or what's evil when it comes to the Most High, you've got to have your senses exercised to be able to discern this is when to apply this is when not to apply this. As much as we want to get just a blanket answer for everything and leave it at that, how can you get your senses exercised if you don't, if it's just one blanket answer? That's one size fits all. That's not how the Most High works. As again, for myself, matter of fact, this is December 2019. I came in December of 1989. So this is my 30th year. So being involved with this knowledge for over 30 years, to find out that there's more of now understanding, that's just learning scriptures, but now having to practice and put in application and have my senses exercised to discern when is the time to plant and when is it going to be time to pluck up that which is planted. Again, and give me some kind of examples as I'm going to get further into this class, that there's a time to season for everything. But we're not going to really know and understand that if this is a good time to do this, and now to apply the scripture now at this time, that's going to be an evil time. That when it's time to plant, then why am I going to pluck up everything when it's time to plant? Then when it's time to pluck up, I'm planting.
I'm not understanding the season. But my intent is not to be malicious. My intent is not to destroy. My intent is not to hurt. My intent is not to destroy. But how can a person really understand or understand what is sensible until they've had the experience? Have you experienced planting? Have you experienced plucking up that it was planted? Have you tried to plant when it was time to pluck up? Or have you plucked up when it was time to plant? So now, did you get a chance to learn through experience, through exercise, through sensibility, to understand, okay, now I understand why now it's time to plant. Now I understand that, no, now it's time to fuck up. It ain't time to plant right now. Verse 3, he goes on to tell us, there's a time to kill, and there's a time to heal. There's a time to kill as far as, I'm going to take it here. There's a time to kill desire. I'm going to say it like that. There's a time to kill sexual desire. I am going to say that. There's a time for that. Just trying to, you know, touch home a little bit, touch me a little bit, touch a person a little bit. I ain't going to say there's time to go out and kill Esau or do that. I'm not saying that. There's time to kill desire. There's time to kill lust. But then it says, and there's time to heal. How are relationships between the husband and wife nurtured? It says, you know, by definition in the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, that marriage is nurtured through sex. But in having the senses exercised to discern, when is it time to kill lust and desire? But when is it time to heal with lust and desire? We're not going to understand these things until our senses are exercised. Our sensibility is exercised to be able to discern when it's time for this or when it's time for that. When it's time to kill that lust, when it's time to kill with lust. And I know that might sound crazy. I know that might sound very ridiculous. Lust, you're supposed to always kill lust, but what do two people use in sex? There's a lust. But is that evil? Is that wrong? It's about understanding with sensibility, when is it time for this and when is it time for that? Just to give you an example. It says further on in verse 3, there's a time to break down and a time to build up. And this is why I'm so guilty of this, of not really getting the knowledge or coming into, when I say guilty, a better word to say is, this is where my sorrow is coming in. When it says, he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. That there is a time to break down and a time to build up. But we're not going to understand what this means until we've actually gone through it. That yes, there is a time to break down. There's also time to build up. Behind this, I'm going to hold this real quick. I do want to hold this real quick. If we go to Jeremiah chapter, hold on, you know, I'm going to look it up. Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, and it's going to be verse 10, okay? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. Behind what we just read, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3, or the verse 4, that there's a time to break down, but a time to build up. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, it says, let me slow my speech down also. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, it says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. So there's a time for all this. There's a time that as a teacher, there's spirits as we teach, there's influences, there's habits, spirits that have got to be, like it says, Jeremiah 1 and 10, to be rooted out, to be pulled down, to be destroyed, and to be thrown down. There is a time for that. And a lot of people don't understand that. That in coming into this knowledge, coming to the truth, there's a lot of things that had to be pulled, rooted out, pulled down, and destroyed and thrown down that we have attached ourselves to. A lot of habits, of ways of thinking that we've grown accustomed to that need to be rooted out, pulled down, destroyed, and thrown down. There's a time for all that. But then from Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10, it goes on to tell us also what? There's also time to build and to plant. And until we've had our sensibility exercised to say, okay, now it's time to tear something down. Now it's time to pull something down. Now it's time to throw down a thought, an influence, a habit that I might have within myself, around the people around me. It is a time for that. But then there's also time to build and to plant. And coming into the understanding of some of these scriptures, that there is going to be a time that we have to throw down somebody's perception. We have to destroy somebody's perception. We have to pull down their thoughts and their strongholds. There is a time for that. There is a time, even with Christ, where he says, if you will follow me, if you don't hate your father, mother, sister, wife, children, yay, and your own life, you can't be my disciple. There's a time for that. There's a time, he said, that's got to happen. There's a time that's got to happen. There's a time, he said, that a man's foes are going to be David's own household. There is a time for that. That as we come down and now we start to pull down the imagination, we start rooting out the false images. We start destroying the lies that we've been taught about Christ the Most High and our understanding of righteousness. There's a time to throw down, destroy, pull down, and there's going to be a time where a man's foes are going to be David's own household. That is so true. And according to how we have our senses exercised, our sensibility exercise to understand when it's time for that. But then it's also a time to come back and build as a plan. But we're not going to understand when is the time to do this good or when's the time to do this evil until we've had our senses exercised. And, you know, when I tried to build at this time, that was the time to build and plan. That was time to destroy, pull down, root out, and destroy. Then there's been times, and I'm coming to you now, that I've rooted out, pulled down, destroyed, and thrown down. But at that time I was doing that, it was time for what? It was time to build and to plant. It was time to build as a plant. And it's not until going through the experience of at this time I was destroying, pulling down, rooting out, and throwing down. But now the accessibility, that was the time to build and to plant. There's been times where I've been building and planning, trying to build and plan something, but that wasn't time to build and to plan. It was time to pull down, destroy, and throw down, and to root out. And then these experiences that will be gained. I'm reminded of something that one of the elders back in One West, the brother Yaikwa, who helped get the school started at One West, right? It was him and the brother Abba Vivek, that one thing he used to always say was, the Most High understood and knew that we had no knowledge of negative, going all the way back to Adam. That from the fall of Adam until the raising up of Jesus Christ, that this was about us just being able to learn how to discern what is evil and what is good, because just in the garden, we didn't understand why something was evil or why something was good. We had no knowledge of sin. And that's backed up with the scripture that says this. Give me one thing as I'm having to type it in. I'm still here, y'all. In Romans chapter 8, if we can go there real quick. Well, I ain't going to say real quick. We're going to Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, verse 19. And one thing the elder Iacobus always say is that from the time of the fall of Adam until the return of Christ this time, that this is about us learning and understanding what negative is. When I say that, amen. That a lot of times, even as we have children, and we even look at ourselves, we don't understand why something is evil or why something is good. Give an example. As much as we're achieving Israelites, especially here in San Antonio, for as long as I've been here in San Antonio, we've always tried to make the high holidays, but particularly like Passover and particularly like Hanukkah, we really try to blow it all out. We was having, you know, balloon drops. We was having gift giveaways. Just trying to blow it up. Going all the way back to Guadalupe, when we had the school of Guadalupe, that we wanted to make Hanukkah, because it was during the time of Christmas, something spectacular, something extravagant for our children. Because we're telling them that Christmas is evil. We're telling them that, you know, it's not Santa Claus, that's Satan. We tell them these things, and that is wrong. But they can look at the smiles of other children and be like, hold up, you're saying it's evil, but why are they smiling? You're saying it's evil, but why are they happy? That don't make sense. And I'm using that as a real wide, broad example. Because even in that same example, that this was the same thing that happened with Adam in the garden. And with Israel coming into the promised land. That in the garden, we were told and given these laws, statutes, commandments by the Most High, and that's evil, that's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't touch it, don't go around it. But there was a curiosity that just roused up. Why is it evil? You tell me I'm going to die, but people ain't dying. And remember, that was part of the beguiling that the serpent brought to Eve. Back to the woman. Look, you was told you're going to die, but look, do I look like I'm dying? Do I look like I'm suffering? Do I look like I'm afflicted? Try it. Just try it. And it seemed like wisdom. It seemed like what was being presented was wisdom. So we partook in it. We partook in it 100%, but because of that curiosity, we didn't understand why this is evil or why this is good. As we came into, you know, got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, we go into slavery in Egypt, we come out of Egypt as the Israelites, we come to the land of Canaan, and the Moses says, taste not, touch not, want not. Don't ask or inquire how the other nations serve your gods and why. That's why I'm kicking them out of the land and giving it back to y'all. Don't do it. But what did we do? We went and saw how they worship their gods and was like, how does that work? You're saying it's evil and it's wrong, but it works. You told us not to genetically modify our seed, not to mix our crops or mix our seed in our crops. You told us that, but they're mixing their seeds in. Look at how their stuff is growing. Look at how when they mix this seed with that seed. Yeah, it might be seedless, but it grows anywhere. And for production, there's not just a season for watermelon. If they want, they can have it year round. If they want grapes, it can be year round. If they want whatever, it's year round. When we do it their way, but you're saying that that's evil. But their children are eating. Their families are being taken care of. How is that evil? How is that wrong? You said don't smoke this, but they burn it in their temples and they get the elation that they feel. The higher mindset they get into. How is that evil? How is that wrong? Why is that bad? So this was some of the same things that happened to us in the Garden of Eden, and they're coming back now with us coming out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. That we was partaking and meeting ourselves with the heathen, with the nations, to understand where they're coming from, to understand how and why they do what they do. And it was in that got us, as Israelites, kicked out the Promised Land, kicked out of the land of milk and honey, because we got curious. But why was the curiosity? Because we had not learned why negative is negative, why evil is evil, and why good is good. We didn't understand it. And that's backed up with Romans chapter 8, verse 19. And it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." That all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Even we, especially we, are waiting to be manifested as the sons of God, being the creature in verse 19. That for the earnest expectation of the creature of us, Israel, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of the Most High. We're waiting to be manifested that we're the sons of the Most High. But it says, verse 20, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of the Most High. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together with until now." So from the very beginning, it says we were made subject to vanity, but not willingly. It's not that we wanted to just be negative. It wasn't that we just wanted just to be against God, but we didn't understand why his law said this and why it was evil, that why his law said that and why this was good. We really did not have that understanding, especially going all the way back to the garden, coming back into that as Israelites in the Promised Land. But now that we've been here in America, now we our last captivity, as they say, hindsight is 2020. To be able to look back now from the time we were Adam in the garden, to look back now as us being delivered out of Egypt and given the Promised Land, the land of milk and honey, to now living in America and seeing how our enemies operate, we can now see some of the negative that is negative, why it's negative. And why some of the good, that the mother says is good. We can now look back in hindsight and see why this should be taught, why that should be taught, why the Bible is good, why the laws of the Most High are really good. But we really didn't seem to understand that, being the Most High's children from the very beginning. We really didn't get that. We really didn't, it wasn't there. So now, in the same respect, as we're in this knowledge of the truth, now that we Israelites, we're having our sensibility exercise, going back now to Hebrews 5 and 14. We're having our sensibility exercise to discern good and evil. We know the Most High made drinks. He made alcohol. But now we're getting our sensibility exercise to know and understand, when do I need to leave alcohol alone? When is it okay to have a drink? But now we're having our sensibility exercise to now understand, to know when I drink at this time, it's a bad thing. But to drink at this time, it's a good thing. But we're only able to come to that understanding. We're only able to come to that knowledge after what? If I have a drinking problem, it's got to be, I've got to get in some real issues because of my drinking. Then now I'm getting to the point of understanding, you know what, this ain't for me. That I know it's legal. I know what I'm saying, I have no problem with it. But for me, it's evil. But for me, I need to leave it alone. Because for me, it's evil. For others, it might not be evil, but for me, it's evil. But a person has to have their sensibility exercise. Yeah, okay, let me try drinking. It's legal. So I'm drinking, but when I start to ruin everything, I start to destroy everything around me because of my drinking, at what point I've got to come back and understand in my senses, in my own sensibility, that you know what? I don't need to drink this. I don't need to drink this often. I don't need to do this because it's evil for me. It's not against the law of the Most High, but for me, it's evil. But for me, no. My senses cannot handle it. My sensibility is letting me know that for me, this action is wrong. To destroy, root out, pull down, to throw down is biblical, but is that something I need to use all the time? Is that the one blanket answer for everything? At what time do I come back now and build and plant? At what time do I come back now and discerning good and evil? Now it's time to build, now it's time to plant. Now it's time to kill, now it's time to heal. Okay? The next definition for sensibility, and staying with Hebrews 5 and 14, is definition number 5 for senses, or for sense. From the Webster's 1828 Dictionary, the fifth definition of sense is understanding, soundness of faculties, strength of natural reason, oppressed the nature. I'm not sure how I copied that, but understanding. So if I'm going to insert the word understanding, it says, but strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, again, that's the important thing, reason of use, have their understanding exercised to discern both good and evil. To understand when it's time to do this, when it's time to do that. To give an example, you know, a lot of people right now are talking about the Sabbath. A lot of people right now are as they're just now waking up, just not coming to the knowledge, and finding out what day the actual Sabbath is, from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, you come to that knowledge. Beautiful thing. But then you come to one of the laws that says not to burn a fire on the Sabbath and not to cook on the Sabbath. But then we come back and see where Christ and disciples plucked corn, which is work, and ate on the Sabbath. And a lot of people want to come back and say, yeah, so they weren't supposed to do that. You're talking about Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. That on the Sabbath day, they ate, him and the disciples, they ate. You might read through the scriptures, on the Sabbath days, it was feasts. There was great meals thrown together. And the fire, if you're not supposed to light a fire, so in the wintertime, what are you supposed to do? In the wintertime, then, what are you supposed to do? And as far as, I'm just going to leave it at that. But now, having an understanding exercise to discern both good and evil. If a person is coming out of the world and they're so used to going to a club on Friday nights, and that's what they've been accustomed to, then guess what needs to be thrown down, pulled down, rooted out, and destroyed? That notion that you can just go do what you want to do on a Friday night, or so-called Saturday. If a person is just so used to being a loner, I do my dirt on my lonely, I do everything by myself. Cool, then what's the purpose of the Sabbath? To throw down, to destroy, and to pull down that notion of I just do everything I just stick to myself. I'm an introvert, I'm a hermit, I'm whatever. Then the law to come back and say, it's time to convocate. It's time to come together. It's a law. There's going to be a time, then cool. There's a time, and I've got to learn that. There's a time I've got to learn that particular thing of how to get past myself, get past my own thoughts, and learn how to now gather together on the Sabbath. How to bring the meal and not just eat for myself I'm going to give you the cousin Pete Page from Poetic Justice with Tupac and Janet Jackson. But now I'm going to come back and make sure that I'm learning how to be considerate. I'm learning how to be sharing. I'm learning how to be giving. I'm learning how to come together. There's a time for that. But there's going to be a time where, okay, on the Sabbath, I really am just at home chilling. I really am just at home restoring and recharging myself. But we're not going to understand what's good or what's evil. We're not going to get to that until we have our senses exercised, our sensibility exercised to understand when it's time to do this and when it's time to do that. Right? Definition number six of the word sense says reason, reasonable or rational meaning. So, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those by reasonable use, have their reason exercised to discern both good and evil. That when is it, do I understand the reason that we do things at this time like this, and the reason of why we do things at this time like that? Why are we now and not fucking up? Because when I came in, we was fucking up. When I came in, we was doing this. When I came to knowledge, this is what I was told. And there was a season for that. And then a lot of Israelites come back and they kind of get frustrated that when I was told this, when I first came in, that it had to be like this. Yes, and what we don't understand and hasn't been explained is that at that particular time, that is what was needed. At that particular time, that was the season that we were in when you came in the truth or whatever time you came in the truth. And whatever was going on at that particular time, yes, that is what was taught and what was pushed. And I'm not going to deny that those things are not taught. I ain't going to say that they weren't pushed. They were. But that was the season at that particular time. Then seasons change. Times change. And a lot of people, even like children, come back and say, but when I was a baby, or when I was young, you wouldn't let me get away with nothing. But now there's the youngest one can get away with murder. There's a time and season for everything. There's a time and a season for everything. So now we got to come back and understand, and again, this is where my sorrow comes in at. And it's a rest of the sentence that I'm really coming to understanding, really coming to knowledge that there really is a time for this, the time for that. And in acquiring that knowledge, the scripture does say, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, that for in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. To actually get to the point of wisdom, to know when this is the right decision, and then when that's about the wrong decision, it's only through the experience of loss, it's only through the experience of pain, to really get to the point to understand when is the time to apply this with the Most High, and when is the time to apply that with the Most High. And in that journey, in that travel, in achieving that, we're not going to be able to get around Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. That in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. We're not going to escape these things. All right? And I'm going to take a look and see if there's any text. As I'm using my phone as the mic also. And again, if you have any questions or comments, please hit me up. Please text me. Area code 210-784-8463. If you have any questions or comments, please hit me up, area code 210-784-8463. Please text me. All right? That's the easiest way to really get a hold of me is please text me. And as I get your text, I will respond. Okay? But please text me, area code 210-784-8463. All right, reading on. Definition number seven was also interesting to me for dealing with the word sense. Definition number seven lets us know that it says opinion, notion, or judgment. So it says Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. The strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those in the views have their opinion exercised to discern both good and evil. When is my opinion wrong? When is my opinion evil? And when is my opinion good? We're not going to understand these things until we've had until we've been exercised, until by reason of use. And when I use my opinion this way, okay, at this time, my opinion was good. But now, at this time, my opinion is evil. At this time, my opinion is wrong. So, in getting to that point of getting that wisdom, of learning when this is right and learning when this is wrong, this is, again, where my sorrow and part of my depression that I've been dealing with lately is coming from. To understand that my intent was never to hurt. My intent was never to be malicious. My intent was never to destroy. My intent in being in this truth and all the sacrifices that I've made and put my family through, it was never because it was an intent to want to just destroy, to hurt, to kill anything. It was never with the malicious intent of just being evil and wicked just for the sake of being evil and wicked. That was never my intent. But to come back now and saying that I was not going to be able to learn, a person is not going to be able to learn what's good and what's evil until they've been through certain experiences. To be able to know when is the time to apply this and know when is the time to apply that. And that there's not just one blanket answer for everything. Again, for as much as there's a time to kill, there's a time to heal. True enough. And vice versa, as much as there's a time to heal, there's also a time to kill. Going now to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, in the Bible again. Going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, it says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Yes. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's time to get and a time to lose. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. That, again, all these things, there's times and places for everything. But we're not going to know when it's good to apply this or when it's good to apply that until we actually go through it, until we actually go and gain these experiences. That when I spoke this time, it was good. But when I came back and spoke this time, it was evil. That means speaking at any time, that I should never just say anything. No. The most I want to be able to discern good and evil. The most I want to discern when is the time to say something and when is the time to go ahead and be quiet. When is the time to gather together? When's the time to scatter? When is the time to weep? And when's the time to laugh? When's the time to mourn? But when's the time to dance? When's the time to break down? But when's the time to build up? When's the time to weep? And when's the time to laugh? That we have to be able to discern the Most High sign. We have to be able to discern the Spirit. And we know from St. John chapter 3, verse 8, it says that the Spirit moves like the wind. That you have to be in tune with the Spirit to know when it's time to change, do it this way, and when it's time to change, do it that way. When the Most High requires it to be done this way, and when the Most High requires it to do it that way. Because, again, as we come back and look at our experience and travels in this truth, it'd be easy to say, as we see some Israelites, that everything that was learned at One West was wrong. That everything we went through, that we learned from our elders was completely wrong. No, that's not true. That's a bona fide lie. Those are from brothers and sisters that were bitter who didn't do no studying. Those are from brothers and sisters that were bitter that didn't get no understanding from the scriptures.
there's a time and place for everything. A lot of people want to say that when it was time for them to get broke down, thrown down, rooted out, that they want to take that and say, I should never have been broke down about anything. I should never have any rooted out of me. I should have been left alone. No, that's not true. That's not true. There's a lot of things that need to be cleaned up in your spirit. There's a lot of things that need to be broken in your opinion. There's a lot of things that need to be broken in your outlook. They had to be thrown down. What was missing was the time to build and to plant. That might have been missing in you and in your experience. But to say that everything that happened, a lot of people say it was too militant. No, it wasn't too militant. There was a time to be militant and a time to be at peace. There's a time that we have to be in order and take orders and shut up. But then it's also time to speak. So, but the Most High takes us through these journeys and taking us through these things to be able to discern when is the time to do this and when is the time to do that. And in acquiring to the knowledge, when acquiring the skills to know now it's time for me to say something. Now it's time for me to cry. Now it's time for me to cast away. Now it's time for me to gather. Now it's time for me to dance. Now it's time to rejoice. Now it's time to embrace. That we have to come back and understand and discern when is the time for each thing. But that's only going to come through those who have the strongly belong to those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When is it evil to do this? But when is it good to do this? Because I don't know how many times I've said it and how many times I've heard it. But you said at this time, we got to do it this way. Yeah. For that time, that's what was needed. But now it's changing. But now the Spirit's got to go this way. This is where we're at. But and acquiring that knowledge of knowing when to apply what, it tells us this. Let me get St. John 3 and holding. I'm going to let Ecclesiastes go. Let's go to St. John 3 verse 8. And it reads this. And again, any questions, comments, or what have you, 210-784-8463. 210-784-8463. If you have a question, comment, or what have you, please hit me up. Let me know. I got you. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 8 says, and this is Christ speaking to, was he speaking to Lazarus or Nicodemus at this time? This was Nicodemus. This is Christ having a conversation with Nicodemus. St. John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So what's this tell you about the Spirit of the Most High? That if you're in the Spirit, and people look at you, they ain't be able to tell where you're coming from or where you're going. Not that it's just going to be a bunch of confusion. But when you actually follow the Spirit of the Most High, as opposed to just the American one way of doing things, and that's it. That I was told this when I came to the truth, and that's it. No. Because a lot of people get mad when it changes. A lot of people, we get so frustrated and upset when we have to change. And again, that was one of our disputes with Moses coming out of Egypt. Why things kept changing, and why we just couldn't get comfortable and go in robotic mode. Why we just couldn't get comfortable and just be robots. That at any time of day or night, when the cloud departed from the tabernacle, we had to pack up and leave. And that could be during the day, that could be during the night. And what was our issue? To complain about it. That I was just getting used to being here at this location. But now we got to move. We got to pack up everything and we got to move. I got to pick up, and now we got to move over here. Now we got to move back over here. If we got to move back over here, why don't we just stay here? If it was going to be this, why did you do this? Or if we're going to do this to the promised land, why are we doing all this back and forth? Just take it to the promised land. Why do I got to keep changing? But this is what we've been lacking. The spirit moves like the wind. But we want to just get set in our opinion. We want to get set in our ways of just doing things one way, our own way, what's comfortable and convenient to us. And doing it that way, we keep missing out. We're not being sensitive to the spirit. We're not being sensitive to how the Most High wants things done. And the only way we're going to understand how the Most High and when the Most High wants things done, we have to go through these experiences. But in going through these experiences, to be able to learn, no, this is the right way of doing things at this time. This is the wrong way of doing things at this time. There's going to be a loss. There's going to be some hurt. There's going to be grief. And there's no getting around that if we want to grow. There's no getting around that if we want to grow. All right? So again, St. John chapter 3, verse 8 says what? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That when you're in the Spirit, you're truly in the Spirit of the Most High. There's a time and season for everything. So from there, I'm going to go to, it says, the wind blows where it listed, and now here's the sound of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of the Most High. A person that's just locked into their way of doing things, a person that's just locked into their opinion, a person that's just locked on what they got going on, and they just want to get that one blanket answer for everything, and that's just it. But this natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of the Most High, for they are foolishness unto him. When I came to truth, this is what we were taught, and this is what we were doing. And for that time, that was the time and season, but things changed. And for the person who is not sensitive to the Most High way of doing things, when the spirit changes, that person will think that it's foolish. That person will think it's not wisdom. That person will think this can't be right. Again, going back to we only live 100 years. So our way of our trying to discern what's right or what's wrong fails in comparison to what the Most High's actual understanding of what's right and what's wrong really is. If we barely live 1/10 of 1,000 years, we live 100 years, which is 1/10 of 1,000 years. But 1,000 years is as a gravel stone to a beach. 1,000 years is like a drop of water to the sea. And we only live 1/10 of that. So for the Most High, God can tell us, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. That we have not had a chance to really comprehend and understand the difference between what is evil and what is good, what is right and what is wrong. So in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of the Most High, for they are foolishness unto him. Then when the Spirit changes, that natural man is going to think it's foolish. Why do that now? That's wrong. That's not the way it should be done. That's not what I'm used to. It says, but the 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of the Most High, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You're not trying to be sensitive to the Most High going on. You just call it into what you feel and your sensibility and where you're at. So, So there's going to be loss. There's going to be grief. There's going to be sorrow. For you to acquire that wisdom, for you to acquire that true spirituality, to understand when the Most High Spirit wants things done this way, and when the Most High wants things done that way, when it's time to weep, but when it's time to laugh. When it's time for these things. You're not going to understand these things and know these things until you're trying to weep, but the Spirit says it's time to laugh, and now you got some loss. You got grief. That now it's time to weep, or vice versa. Now you're trying to laugh, but this is time to be laughing. It's time to be weeping. But you're not going to understand these things until there's been some loss. Until there's been some grief. That you become sensitive to know and understand, okay, now it's time for this, and now it's time for that. Now the Spirit wants it done this way, and now the Spirit wants things done that way. But this is not going to be acquired until we've experienced when I was planting, but it was time to pluck up. And what I planted didn't last. What I planted died. What I planted didn't work. It was just a bunch of labor. It seemed like I was working for nothing. So as Israelites, we won't take a mentality, so I'm never going to plant anything ever again. No, fool. It wasn't that you weren't supposed to plant anything ever again. It was supposed to be to be able to learn, and I said, fool, forgive me for that. It was supposed to be, look, that wasn't the time for that. But now it's time for it. But when I planted last time, I got hurt. When I planted last time, it didn't work because you were planting at the wrong time. Because at the time you were planning, it was time to pluck up. But I put my heart into it. I put a lot into it. No one said you didn't. All that's being said to you is that was the wrong time. But now it's time to plant. When I was plucking up, you plucking up, but it's time to plant. Why are you plucking up, but it's time to plant? All right, cool. Go ahead and pluck it up. Now, a couple months down the road, when you got mad, angry, did whatever you did, and you plucked up, it was time to plant. Now, when you're looking for the reward, you're looking for the comeback, you're looking for the grace, the mercy, whatever it might be, guess what's not there? Because you, in your opinion, wanted to pluck up. Because you was caught in whatever mindset, sensibility, reason you were in, that when it's time to plant, you wanted to pluck up. Because of whatever it is you was going through, you were plucking up. So now when it's time to reap what was planted, you ain't got nothing. Because when it was time to plant, you were plucking up. You were throwing down. You were destroying. You were caught in your opinion. And when somebody's trying to tell you, this is the Spirit. This is where we got to go. Nope, F that. Nope, I'm here. Nope. It's going to be my way. I'm going to be heard. All right, cool, be heard. Okay. All right. Now, when it comes back down to, you're going to be looking for the payoff. You're going to be looking for the reward. Why is it not there? Because at the time you were supposed to be planting, you decided to pluck up. Not out of being malicious. Not out of wanting to destroy. But for whatever reason, in your mind, it was time to pluck up. Now you're looking for the reward. Now you're looking for the benefit, and it's not there because you were out of the Spirit. Then, as Israelites, we want to get to the point where, then I'm never going to pluck up ever again. All I'm going to do is just plant. No. We want so bad just to get things going just one way, and that's it. But that is not how the Spirit of the Most High works. That is not how the Most High works. And it's only through the grief and the sorrow that we start to learn these things. It's only through the grief and the sorrow that we're finding out, I'm finding out that I'm still sinning with the Most High. And it's not that I'm breaking the law on the Most High, it's that I'm sinning and that now when I was supposed to be doing this in this season, I wasn't. When I was supposed to be doing that in that season, I wasn't. And now, in gaining the wisdom and the knowledge of I should be doing it this way, at this time I should do this, look at the grief and the sorrow I'm having to go through. To be able to gain what it says, what Paul is telling us in Hebrews 5, that strong means at the time you had to be teachers, you have need to want to teach you again, which be the first principles of the organs of the Most High. And it becomes such as I need of milk and not a strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When is, am I letting somebody teach me and show me what the Spirit is? Teach me and show me when it's time for this, when it's time for that. And in gaining the knowledge, in gaining the understanding of when it's time to apply what, there is, like it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, in acquiring that wisdom, there is a lot of grief. In acquiring that knowledge, there is a lot of sorrow. And one thing that was really in my head, really in my mind, was Proverbs 4, verse 6. The Most High says, my people are short for lack of knowledge. The Most High knows that we don't know. He knows this. He stated that we're short for lack of knowledge. He said, but he said in Jeremiah 42, we're silent. We're stupid. The things that we do are stupid. He says those things to us. But he also understands that, well, this is what I was tripping on before I go there. That if we're stupid for lack of knowledge, and the Moses says that we're stupid, being silent stupid, then guess what? Then as we acquire more of the Most High knowledge, guess what we're also going to acquire from Ecclesiastes 1:18? We're going to acquire more sorrow. That as we get to know and understand the Most High when he does things, when he does do things, that in that experience, those experiences, there's going to be some loss. And those experiences, is going to be some sorrow. It's going to be some grief. To know that, okay, now I know that this is not the right thing to do, right way of doing things. Now I know it's time for us to do it this way. But that's only going to come through, if you will, sorrow and grief. I got somebody calling in. Hold on 1 second. All right, cool. Well, again, so as we're destroyed for lack of knowledge, as we gain the Most High knowledge, what is it going to be there? Grief and sorrow. Now, just like it was told to Ezekiel, it was told to eat the Bible, like it was told to John in Revelation to eat the Bible. It says that in the mouth it was what? Sweet like honey. But in the belly it was what? It was bitter. And as we consume the Most High's word, we consume is now we consume this Bible. As we apply different situations and we're putting it to use, we're going to find out that, you know what, in order for me to actually know when it's time to go through Ecclesiastes chapter, the third chapter, to know when it's time for this, when it's time for that, to actually gain that knowledge, to actually gain that experience, it's going to come through sorrow. It's going to come through grief. But that's the only way it's going to happen. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. We have to go through it. No, it's like riding a bike. How many times did a child got to fall on his bike to learn true balance? It was roller skates. How many times you got to fall on roller skates to bust your ass to learn true balance? What does it take for that bicyclist to get to the point where they can ride a wheelie? Do bicycle tricks. For a skateboarder, how many times does a skateboarder have to bust his behind or her behind? All types of lumps and bumps on the head. All types of sprains and possibly even bone breaks to become an expert, to become good at their craft, to make it look easy. How much extra work did the basketball star got to put in to get to that level? For as much as when he was given the Michael Jordan stats, for as many last point shots that he made, he also set the record for the most missed shots also at the end of the game. But it took him having to go through all those missed shots to go back and examine and see what he did wrong, what he could have did better, what he could have improved upon. So it is after thank everybody who did tune in. Let me run my mouth for a minute. There's more to come on this same thing. There's more to come, but I did want to go ahead and get into this. Some of the trips we did, especially of a center. I am a center. Now that I've been breaking the Mosiah's law, I have not been understanding the Mosiah's time. I have not been applying when it's time to change. I've not been applying when it's time to use scriptures, but at what time do I use the scripture, and at what time do I use that scripture? Right. So with that, I do hope everybody did get something from this. I do hope that it might have helped, is helping others. But with that, I do need to go ahead and get up out of here. The next Blog Talk class is Thursday. Next Blog Talk class will be Monday evening. Unless some of the brothers want to get together and do something on Sunday night, our next Blog Talk class will be Monday evening. All right, with that, we ask you to please tune in tonight to ISBHPK Norfolk Live. ISBHPK Norfolk Live. And then we hold class tonight in the Texas area. It starts at 5. In Albuquerque, I believe, starts at 4. It's 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, East Coast Time. That's when the class, the live stream starts. So adjust according to wherever you might be at, since you might be able to see a part of the class and be able to watch them live on YouTube. So with that, my name is Michelle, and for all the Israelites, brothers and sisters out there, I'd like to go ahead and say shalom. Shalom.